Hello friends, I hope you are doing well in your studies. I'm sure you are also learning. Dear students, without learning, life stops. Learning is a must in any field. If you do not learn, your future becomes stagnant, constant, and you know very well, if you remain constant, it's a death. You have to keep on moving, moving and moving. The generation which is younger to you is full of, what do you call it, abilities and with all gadgets. With the click of finger, they get all the information and you can also. But if you will not improve yourself daily, I'm sorry to say, you may not be able to learn your life. And I'm sure you all are very intelligent students. You have enrolled yourself for studies only, for learning. I'm proud of you. These things I keep on saying so that you must not miss the bus of future, because future is nothing but what we make in present. You have to look to the future from the window of the present. So make your present wonderful, and I assure you, your future will automatically become awesome. So with this background, today let us continue our journey of capital gains. Now, dear friends, in last lecture, I told you about what is capital gain, how it is computed, that is, how to compute the long-term capital gain, how to compute the short-term capital gain. Short-term capital gain is calculated under Section 548 of the Income Tax Act, which says sale consideration less expenses on transfer, less cost of acquisition, less expenses on improvement. But while dealing with the long-term capital gain computation, it also comes under Section 48 only. However, in long-term capital gain, full value of consideration, less expenses on transfer, less index cost of acquisition, less index cost of improvement. Because if we do not inflate the cost as per the inflation rate, then you cannot compare the present value of the rupee with the past value of the rupee. You have to make the past value of the rupee in comparison to the present value. That's why we inflated the cost. And mind it well, indexation is always related to long-term capital gain. In short-term capital gain, the concept of indexation is alien, stranger. Is that clear? With this background, we also learned that short-term capital gain is merged with the normal income, and the computation is made in respect of short-term capital gain as per the slabs. However, if the short-term capital gain is in respect of shares or securities or debentures or other securities which are listed under Section 2, subsection H of the Security Contract Regulation Act, then that short-term capital gain under Section 111A of the Income Tax Act shall be charged to tax at a lesser rate, that is at 15%. But if it is short-term capital gain through other capital assets, except shares, etc., then the amount will be merged with the normal income. Having said so, in case of long-term capital gain, the tax rate is always 20%. Now, however, if the long-term capital gain is arising out of shares, securities, debentures, units of UTI, units of mutual fund, etc., 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 and on these securities if share security transaction tax has been deducted. In that case, the amount will be exempt under section 10, subsection 38. That means that capital gain shall not be taxed because security transaction tax has already been deducted. This is how we have to learn. But if the shares have been sold off the market, suppose you have sold the shares after holding it for more than 1 year to your brother, and you have sold the shares without involving any stock exchange broker or agent, and you have sold the shares as per the market rate, then you will have to pay the tax at the rate of 10% or 20% in case of equity shares. Similarly, suppose Hindustan Unilever comes with a buyback offer and you have offered your shares to Hindustan Unilever under buyback, then also you will have to pay tax because Hindustan Unilever shall not be authorized to deduct security transaction tax. So can I say that if the security transaction tax is deducted on the long-term shares, then they will be exempt. But in case of short-term shares, what do you call it, it shall be taxable. Even if security transaction tax is, what do you call it, paid, but the tax rate will be 15%. Is that clear? Having said all these things, I want to ask you one thing. Suppose, this is a question to you. My long-term capital gain, after indexation, after cost, after indexation, say, my long-term capital gain is rupees 1,50,000. Total long-term capital gain. This is say I sold my house. And the long-term capital gain after computing the cost, that is sale price, less expenses on transfer, less cost, index cost of acquisition, less index cost of improvement, the net amount after all these deductions is 1,50,000 during assessment year 2012-2013. Now you will appreciate that in law, the total taxable income, the threshold limit begins from 2 lakhs. This is the threshold limit. From 2 lakhs to 5 lakhs, etc., etc. 2 lakhs to 5 lakhs, 10%. 5 lakhs to 10 lakhs, 20%. Above 10 lakhs, 30%. Now, my question to you, this gentleman has no other income except 1,50,000, which he got from, what do you call it, transfer of the house. Now, the question arises, shall he still pay 20% tax? He has no other income. He has no income from salary. He has no income from house property. He has no income from capital gain. He has income only from capital gain, that is long-term capital gain, on sale of house. He has no income from other sources. He has no income from business or profession. His total taxable income from long-term capital gain is 1,50,000. Now, one person, his friend suggests him that long-term capital gain you have to pay 20% tax. Another friend of him says, no, because this income is less than 2 lakhs, you don't have to pay any tax. Who is right? The answer is, in this case, the person who has suggested that your income is below threshold limit, so you need not pay any tax, is right. Because his total income, even from long-term capital gain, it is at a special rate. But it is exempt. Why? Because it is less than 2 lakhs rupees. Now take an example, another example. Suppose his salary income is rupees 1,80,000 and his long-term capital gains is rupees, say, 40,000 from house. Because long-term capital gain from shares if it is sold through stock exchange, is exempt under section 10, subsection 38. Now here, what shall be the total taxable income, or what shall be the total tax? He is Mr. A. His friend B says that this income is exempt because it is less than 2 lakhs. And this income is a special income. And on this income, you have to pay 20%. That is, what you call it, 8,000 rupees tax. Is he right? Or his another friend C says that since the threshold limit is 2 lakhs rupees, now still in normal income, this 20,000 is still a shortfall, because 2 lakhs is the normal limit. Now 20,000 still, to make it 2 lakhs, it has to have 20,000 more. Now this person C says, his friend says, that your long term capital gain will be 40,000 minus 20,000, that is on 20,000 you have to pay 20%. Why he says so? Because his threshold limit of taxable is 2 lakhs. Now it is 1,80,000, excluding this 40,000. Now is this person right or is this person right? The answer is, please think. I don't know the answer, please help me. In this person, in this situation, this person is 100% right, because this income is only 1,80,000. So whatever is the shortfall, to the extent of 20,000 is the shortfall. So this 20,000 will be reduced from this long term capital gain, and on the balance amount it shall be subject to tax. Is that clear? So please understand this particular method. But suppose the long term capital gain is 2,50,000 or 3 lakhs total. Now shall he still reduce 2 lakhs? The answer is no. On this, shall he reduce 2 lakhs? Yes. Because up to 2 lakhs, it is exempt. Now the balance amount 1 lakh shall be subject to tax at the rate of 20%. So this is how we have to understand the concept of calculation of long-term capital gain tax. And similarly, the situation is there in case of shares, short-term capital gain. Now let us understand. Short-term capital gain on shares, you know very well, shares are taxed at the rate of 15% short term under section 111A. Now in this case, what happens? Suppose the short term capital gain on shares is 3 lakhs. He has no other income except this 3 lakhs. Now, shall this amount be reduced by 2 lakhs rupees, which is the threshold limit, which is the statutory limit, which is the basic limit, and shall he be liable to pay 15% of this 1 lakh rupees? The answer is yes, because this person should get the benefit of threshold limits. So this thing you please keep in mind, that deduction shall be allowed in this manner in case of short term and long term. Very good. Now see here, my dear friends, now I'll come to a different topic. In capital gain only, I want to give an example to you. Suppose
there is an earthquake,
or there is, say, tsunami, or there is fire, or there is explosion, or there is riot, or there is civil disturbance. Civil disturbance. Now, because of all these things, your asset is destroyed. Your asset is destroyed. Suppose a person has a house, and this house, he purchased it for 5 lakhs. And this house is insured with the insurance company for rupees, say, 7 lakhs. Now, unfortunately, because of earthquake, because of tsunami, because of fire, because of explosion, because of riots, because of civil disturbance, because of natural calamity. Now, in Uttarakhand, in Kedarnath, in Badrinath, many houses are, what you call it, swept in deluge, in heavy rains, in floods, because of, what you call it, the stones which have become obstacles and impediments. Now the problem is, this house, suppose, is in Badrinath or in Kedarnath, and this house is destroyed by deluge. But this house was insured under insurance, what you call it, authorities. So, the insurance authorities gave him compensation of 7 lakhs rupees. Now, income tax officer says that you got 7 lakhs rupees from the insurance and the cost of the house was 5 lakhs. Now you pay the tax on 2 lakhs rupees. Is it a transfer? Because the capital gain arises only when the transfer takes place. Frankly speaking, there is no transfer. There is no sale. There is no exchange. There is no relinquishment. There is no, what do you call it? There is no relinquishment. But mind it well, dear students. Even there is no sale, no exchange, no relinquishment, no compulsory acquisition, no allowing of possession of the property, no extinguishment, but still this amount shall be taxed under section 45(1) capital A of the Income Tax Act, which is there in the capital gains. This amount shall be taxed under capital gains. So can I say, if your house or if your capital asset is destroyed by all these things and you get some extra amount from the insurance company, that amount shall also be subject to tax, even it is not transferred, even it is not covered under the definition of section 2, subsection 47, it is not covered, still it shall be taxable. Why? Because there was a judgment. In the case of Vanya Silk Mills, Supreme Court, in Vanya Silk Mill case, a machine was destroyed by fire. And the owner of the factory got more amount by way of insurance from the insurance authorities. More amount than the cost, more amount than the WDV, sorry. In this case, the officer, the income tax officer, asked that person to pay the tax on the difference amount. Which difference amount? amount received from the insurance company minus written down value, whatever remains is a difference amount. Now the insurance company paid this. Now the income tax officer asked that person to pay the tax on the difference amount, excess amount. That person told that, okay, I am ready to pay the tax, but please tell me, is this destruction is covered under the definition of transfer? The matter went up to Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, Honorable Supreme Court, gave the verdict that no, this amount shall not be subject to tax because it is not covered under the definition of transfer and it is not a transfer. However, the Act was subsequently amended to overcome the decision of Vanya Silk Mill case. Now, under Section 45(1)(a), even the amount is received from the insurance company by way of compensation which exceeds the WDV, then that difference shall be taxable. But my question is, suppose the house is destroyed in 2013 and insurance company settles the claim in 2017. Now, I told you, the house is destroyed in 2013, but the insurance company has settled the claim in 2017. Shall the person be liable to pay the tax on this amount which is not received in 2013, in 2013 itself? The answer is no. In this case, the taxability shall arise only when the insurance compensation is actually received by the person. Because if the person has not received the insurance compensation, how he is supposed to pay the tax? But this particular section does not go well along with the basic structure of capital gain, where the capital gain is taxed the moment the asset is transferred. Receipt of consideration is irrelevant. But as far as this section is concerned, unless and until the compensation is received, then only this taxability would arise. Mind it well. So if the compensation is received in 2017, the person will have to pay tax in the year 2017 itself. He will not be asked to pay the tax in the year in which the house was destroyed and the compensation has been lost because he has not received money. Is that clear? So this is how we have to learn the Section 45(1)(a) of the income tax. Now, there is another special provision. These are called as special provisions. Another special provision is there in income tax, which is called as compulsory acquisition. Now, compulsory acquisition is under Section 45, subsection 5. What is compulsory acquisition? Suppose this is my land. Now, government wants to make a highway. Now, government wants to make highway on my land. And they come to me. I say, no, I'm not interested in giving my land. Do they have right to compulsory acquire it? Yes. Mind it well, students. To have the property it was your fundamental right given to you under the Constitution of India. However, this fundamental right is no more. So the government, in case of need, if you are not willing to give your property, can compulsorily acquire this property. Now suppose I purchase this land for 10 lakhs and the government gave me 30 lakhs rupees as compensation. Shall I be liable to pay capital gain tax on the difference of 20 lakhs rupees? I am using the word 20 lakhs rupees, etc. You must consider that if it is a long term, then you must calculate the indexation. If it is short term, indexation will never come. So this is just an example. So it depends whether the asset is long term or short term, any asset. Even in the case of the insurance, you have to consider whether the compensation is received from the insurance companies in respect to the short-term capital asset or the long-term capital asset. If it is a long-term capital asset, you must calculate the indexation, always. Now the question arises, shall the person be liable to pay tax on this amount of 20 lakhs rupees because 30 lakhs rupees has been received, they have been received from the government? The answer is yes. Under section 45, subsection 5 of the Income Tax Act, the person shall be liable to pay tax on this amount after calculation of the indexation, etc., etc. Whatever remains, that shall be subject to tax. But suppose the government has delayed it. Now the question arises, the agreement was over, everything is over in 2013. But the government paid the compensation in 2015, this 30 lakhs rupees. Shall the person be liable to pay tax in 2013 or in 2015? The person shall be liable to pay tax in 2015 because at the time of receipt of actual compensation. Please understand. Now the government has delayed the compensation. Now government pays 8% interest also on this 30 lakhs rupees. Shall this 8% interest, that is 2,40,000, be subject to tax? That is, for 2 years, it will be 4,80,000 rupees. 8% of 30 lakh interest. The answer is yes. Even the interest which has been received shall be subject to tax. So please understand, if the compulsory acquisition is there, then also the person will have to pay the tax. And even if the asset is destroyed by fire, etc., then also the person will have to pay the tax. Now, having understood all these things, I want to tell you, I want to give you an example. I want to take you to a different section altogether, and that is section 49, subsection 1. What is section 49, subsection 1? Suppose he is Mr. A. A has purchased a plot of land in, say, 1985 for rupees 5 lakhs. Now, in 2012, he gives this plot of land to his son in 2012, and now it's a gift. So the question of taking the money from the son does not arise, because in gift the consideration is love and affection. The consideration is not money. So he has gifted this house or this plot of land which he purchased, A has purchased in 85 at the cost of rupees 5 lakhs at that time. Now he has gifted this land to his son in 2012. Now the market value today, that is in 2012, is 20 lakhs. Now the question arises, shall Mr. A, who has purchased a plot of land in 1985 with a cost of rupees 5 lakhs, now in 2012, subsequently, he has gifted this land to his son. At the time of gift, the market value of this plot of land is 20 lakhs. Shall Mr. A be liable to pay the tax? Because this is a transfer. Now the land belongs to his son. Shall Mr. A be liable to pay the tax on this gifted asset? The answer is no, 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 no. The donor, who is donor? Mr. A. Mr. A shall not be liable to pay the tax because gift is not covered under Section 2, Subsection 47. Section 2, Subsection 47 is a transfer, definition of transfer. Gift is not a transfer, which is covered under Section 2, Subsection 47. Gift is not a transfer. So when the gift is not a transfer, there is no capital gain. When the gift is not a transfer, there is no capital gain. Wonderful. Now, this Mr. B, who is the son of Mr. A, now let us play with the dates. Let us take the dates in another example. Now suppose A has purchased a plot of land on 10/4/1985, 4 rupees 7 lakhs, and he has given to B, his son, the gift of this asset on 17/6/2013. The market value of the asset is 25 lakhs. Now the question arises, shall A be liable to pay the tax on this asset which he purchased for 7 lakhs and the market value at the time of gift is 25 lakhs? The answer is no. But his son B sells the asset on 18/6/2013 for rupees 26 lakhs. Please understand again. A has purchased a plot of land in the year 1985 and the cost of the price land was 7 lakhs. On 17/6/2013, Mr. A has gifted the asset to his son. At the time of gift, the market value of the asset is 25 lakhs. Mr. B has sold the asset on the very next day. Now my question, shall Mr. B be liable to pay the tax? The answer is, come on, the answer is, yes, yes, yes. Okay. But for Mr. B, who will be liable to pay the tax, what shall be the cost? What shall be the, whether this asset is a long term or a short term? Now B has held the asset only for one day. Now can Mr. B say that no, I want to treat it as a long-term capital asset? Whether in the hands of B, who has held the asset only for one day, shall it be a long-term or shall it be a short-term? Mind it well, dear students. In these type of transactions, the asset shall be treated as long-term. even Mr. B has held it for only one day, it shall be treated as a long term, because the period of holding the asset will be calculated from this date to this date. So the period of holding of the asset shall be calculated from the date on which the previous owner, who is the previous owner? Mr. A is the previous owner. Now previous owner purchased the asset in 1985. From 1985 to 2013, the date will be calculated. So if the asset has been gifted and the same has been sold by the donee, donee means the person who receives the gift, the same will be sold by the donee, in that case, the period of calculation, whether the asset is long term or short term, that period shall be considered by considering the date of purchase of this asset by the original owner, that is the previous owner. Who is the previous owner? The person who pays the price is the previous owner. So in this case, even the asset has been sold after one day by Mr. B, it shall be treated as long-term capital gain, because the date of long-term capital gain, 3 years have been completed from this to this, yes, is a long-term capital gain. Is that clear? So period of holding under section 49 subsection 1 shall be calculated from the date on which the previous owner acquired the asset. Is that clear?